Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Risk Map 2016 podcast from Shanghai. I'm Kent Kettle, the overall head of control risks operation in Greater China and North Asia. I have with me Andy Gillum, our director of analysis for the region, and two of our analyst team in Shanghai and Beijing, Shaolin Cha and Ron Hu. So, Ron, our China article in this year's Risk Map, we mentioned China's Made in China 2025 strategy as an example of a concerning trend to watch in 2016. Give us kind of an overview of what this strategy is.
Sure. The Made in China 2025 strategy was reviewed by the State Council in May 2015. It sets out a blueprint for the country's overall industrial upgrading to move China from a low-cost manufacturing base to an advanced international and value-added manufacturing power beyond 2025. Over the next three decades. The strategy identifies 10 prioritized areas in which the government will support technological breakthroughs and indigenous innovation, including information and communication technology, new energy vehicles, robots, new materials, and biochemical and high-performance medical devices.
Okay, thanks, Ron. Andy, I'm curious here. We've had another year of requests from clients to support on kind of political regulatory issues, but we haven't heard a lot about Made in China. And it certainly has not been a big theme in the business press on China. Why are we flagging this up right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, on one level, as Ran described, a lot of what's in this strategy really reflect just a very normal set of policies to upgrade Chinese industry, move up the value chain, and I guess avoid the middle income trap is one of the drivers behind it. And a lot of this is perfectly sound policy that you'd expect from China at this stage of development. And we want to be clear as well, you know, there's a lot of more positive policy trends out there as well. But the reason we're flagging this up, two things really. One is this is really leaning back towards some pretty heavy-handed, state-led kind of solutions to the current economic situation, which is a little bit worrying at the macro level. And secondly, what we're starting to see, although, as you say, it doesn't seem to really be heavily on the radar yet, is that this Made in China strategy and theme is starting to pull together a lot of the other trends that we've seen and bring them into kind of a big squeeze on multinationals. And, you know, I think there's a lot of examples of that we're seeing in sectors around China this year.
You know, it's interesting, in the early days here, companies would talk about, foreign companies would talk about not being on an equal footing with Chinese competitors, meaning they couldn't compete in the same way, things like that. We're starting to hear allegations of an unlevel playing field or not level playing field on the basis of both industrial policy and kind of regulatory oversight, both that seems to be coming together like that and raising concern even more.
Yeah. Well, what we're seeing is this very kind of conflicting picture. So on the one hand, we're seeing actually a significant increase in market access in some sectors, but at the same time, actually operating, I think most of our clients would agree, is getting a lot more difficult. You know, we've seen the last two or three years, we've seen much tighter enforcement and much more active enforcement of laws and regulations ranging everything from anti-bribery and corruption, which has been probably the most high-profile aspect of it, but through competition and anti-monopoly and pricing issues, environment, safety and quality, tax, it's all out there. What's interesting about this Made in China theme is, you know, in China, it's always been a famous feature of the bureaucratic environment that it's very siloed, not a great deal of coordination between different ministries and agencies. The Made in China theme, there's signs that it's starting to bring some of these agencies and different strands of enforcement together. And it's certainly not always targeting foreign companies. There's a huge focus on domestic companies as well. This is not just a foreigner bashing exercise by any means, but there is definitely some evidence out there from 2015 that makes us anticipate much more awareness of and maybe fear of this this new trend or this reinforced trend in 2016?
A lot of our work has been really the past 2 years, but certainly the last year, a lot of our work has been in the healthcare sector. Do we see these kinds of things happening in the healthcare sector?
Absolutely. It's maybe the classic case of this. So, you know, we've talked in previous years about the bribery crackdown in that sector, and that's very much still alive. What's starting to come together in the past year, I think, is also the Made in China agenda is really pushing for the emergence of some very strong domestic competitors, both in pharmaceuticals and in medical devices, particularly competing with some of the foreign leading brands in those sectors. And the bottom line here is the goal is for some of these domestic companies to emerge as very strong domestic and ultimately international players that basically take market share from the top brands. So, you know, those top companies internationally are being gunned for, really. And, you know, that's very natural to some extent. But I think increasingly there's a lot of suspicion among foreign investors here that when they are being targeted with pricing, with competition, with quality and other regulatory enforcement actions, that's, you know, that's got an ulterior motive. And particularly when you've got Ministry of Industry and Information Technology and, for example, the former health ministry coming together and doing joint policy planning on some of these issues, I think people are really seeing a kind of ganging up on the foreign companies here. We've seen anecdotal evidence on procurement, hospital procurement that is maybe increasingly
IP protection. We've heard some cases that have gone against some foreign companies on IT on the high tech side of things, and IP protection has not gone their way.
Absolutely,
So the healthcare sector is big. Charlene, what other sectors are we seeing that are kind of following some of these trends?
A lot of the issues that Andy raised, we do see that in the technology sector as well, is getting a lot of concern from foreign investors, particularly concerned that, you know, market access for them in this sector has been, you know, very much, likely to be very much reduced in the coming years. We do see some of that going on, and this is actually codified in the National Security Law, which was introduced in July this year. So that sets very clear guidelines on, you know, the move towards a more stricter technological regime that policymakers are thinking about. And so, I mean, in the whole push towards a secure and controllable internet infrastructure in China, there is a lot of official rhetoric around how do they want to do that. But so far, we haven't seen a lot of concrete steps that policymakers are taking to actualize that plan. And even though these steps have not been very well, you know, like communicated to investors, whether it's the private ones, private Chinese investors, or even foreign investors, there is still a lot of concern, particularly in that, you know, we don't know exactly how they're going to be introduced. So technology is one sector where we are, you know, seeing a lot of those market access issues. But honestly, it's not all doom and gloom in the whole China environment, because like Andy also mentioned earlier, there is some level of liberalization across certain sectors in China. And this we can see in real estate, in some parts of infrastructure, in logistics, and even in the energy sector. So in terms of electricity grid investment that's relaxed and open to foreign investors, in terms of clean energy, you know, environmental protection areas such as waste management plants, or even in land development, which has been closed off to foreign investors for the longest time, this has been relaxed substantially this year, and this can be seen in the foreign investment catalog that was introduced and came into effect in April this year. So in terms of the number of sectors that has been substantially reduced, that were off limits to foreign investment, I mean, that has been, you know, substantially reduced by close to half. And the areas that require joint investments with Chinese companies right now has also been substantially cut down from 70 over areas to just a handful, 10 to 20.
So a lot more opportunities for foreign companies to play.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Thank you very much, Andy, Charlene, Ron. And thank you too for listening. This has been the Risk Map 2016 podcast from Shanghai. I'm Kent Kettle, the overall head of control risks operation in Greater China and North Asia.